Hey there, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're cracking open How I Built This by Guy Raz. So Sophie, you've listened to the podcast for ages. What did you think when he turned it into a book?
Oh, I was thrilled. The book is basically the greatest hits of the podcast, but it's so much more than that. It weaves all those interviews into one big argument about what it actually takes to build something. It's not a business manual, it's a human story.
And that's exactly what surprised me. I was expecting a bunch of success stories. You know, the classic, here's how I made $1 billion stuff. But it's the opposite. It's all about the mess, the failures, the near-death experiences.
Right. The first thing he does is demolish the myth of the overnight success. That idea that someone has a brilliant flash of insight in the shower and then it's all smooth sailing. It's just not true.
No way. He opens with all these stories of accidental entrepreneurs. Like Airbnb, they started by renting out air mattresses in their living room just to pay rent. They weren't trying to disrupt the hotel industry. They were just desperate.
Exactly.
And Sarah Blakely cut the feet off her pantyhose because she was frustrated with how they looked under white pants. That's the origin of Spanx. A frustration, not a grand vision.
So the initial idea is often this flimsy, accidental thing. But that's not the point. The point is what happens next. The relentless iteration. Listening to the market and adapting.
Yes, the idea is just the seed. The soil and water is all the hard work. And that's where failure comes in. He doesn't sugarcoat it. He gets into the visceral, gut-wrenching reality of almost losing everything.
Like Pandora, they were weeks away from running out of money after burning through millions. Can you imagine the sheer terror of that? And Stacy's pita chips, laying off their whole staff and maxing out credit cards to keep the company alive.
It's brutal. But the key takeaway is that failure is almost inevitable. The entrepreneurs who succeed are the ones who develop the psychological stamina to survive it. They treat every setback as data, not as a final verdict.
So it's not about avoiding failure. It's about how you respond to it. That's a mindset shift, isn't it? You're not a failure because your product flops. You're just getting a signal that you need to change something.
Totally.
And that leads right into the art of the pivot. He makes it so vivid with examples. YouTube started as a video dating site called TuneIn Hookup. Can you believe that? It completely failed, but they noticed people were uploading all kinds of videos, so they dropped the dating premise entirely.
And PayPal was originally about beaming money between Palm Pilots. Palm Pilots, that's a blast from the past. They had the humility to admit their original idea was wrong and the courage to start over.
That's the builder mindset, right? Being more attached to solving the problem than to a specific solution. You have to be willing to kill your darlings.
Okay, but there's something else he talks about that I think is often overlooked, the co-founder relationship. It's like a marriage, but with business plans.
Oh, absolutely. He gets into the intense dynamics between co-founders. Warby Parker had to navigate some serious disagreements and power struggles. And Ben and Jerry, their friendship was the bedrock, but they still had to codify their roles and resolve conflicts professionally.
So choosing a co-founder is one of the most important decisions you'll ever make. You need someone you trust implicitly, who challenges you without breaking you, and who shares your core values. A bad co-founder can poison the whole thing.
And then there's the emotional toll. He really pulls back the curtain on the psychological cost. It's not all glamorous. It's loneliness, constant pressure, and your business can consume your entire identity.
Whitney Wolf heard from Bumble. She had to deal with that public and painful legal battle with Tinder. And Jenny Britton Bauer from Jenny's Splendid Ice Creams. She fought through a listeria outbreak that nearly destroyed her brand. It's not just about strategy, it's about mental fortitude.
So, what's the most important skill then? It's not coding or marketing or finance. It's the ability to manage your own psychology. You need a support system, you need to compartmentalize stress, and you need a sense of purpose beyond just making money.
Because if the only goal is a financial payoff, you'll burn out before you get there. The journey is just too hard. You have to be driven by something deeper.
Right, and that's where the mission comes in. The most enduring companies are built on a purpose that transcends profit. Patagonia's mission to save the planet, Zappos's mission to deliver happiness. That's not just marketing, it's a North Star that guides every decision.
And it attracts people too. Customers and employees who are passionate about the cause. It's the why that keeps everyone going when the what gets hard.
He also talks about the founder's personal story as a marketing tool. People crave authenticity. Sarah Blakely's frustration with panty lines is the emotional core of Spanx. The Airbnb founder's struggle to pay rent is why millions of people trust strangers to stay in their homes.
By sharing their vulnerable stories, they create a human connection that no ad can replicate. It makes them relatable and trustworthy.
And then there's the hard part of scaling. The skills to start a company are not the skills to grow it. Many brilliant founders are terrible managers. They thrive on chaos, but they struggle with the discipline and process needed for a large organization.
So they have to learn to delegate, hire experienced executives, and sometimes even step aside from the CEO role. It's humbling. If you can't let go of control, you become a ceiling that prevents your company from growing.
And what about the moat? He borrows that from Warren Buffett, a sustainable competitive advantage that protects you from competitors, a powerful brand, a network effect, or proprietary technology. The most successful founders are obsessed with building a moat that will last for decades.
So it's not just about growth, it's about survival. Building something that can withstand the competition and the test of time.
Exactly.
But at its core, this book is not a how-to manual. It doesn't give you a 10-step plan. It gives you a mindset. It normalizes the chaos and validates the struggle. It shows that these entrepreneurs are not superheroes. They're human beings, just as scared and uncertain as the rest of us.
The difference is they channel their fear into action. They see obstacles as puzzles, not dead ends. And they understand that the most important thing is to start, to keep going, and to never stop building. That's what I'm taking away. It's not about having the perfect plan. It's about starting and adapting.
And honestly, if you want to go deeper into the stories behind these ideas, the whole library is on the 7-Minute Books app. There are over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language. It's $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 for lifetime access, and you can find it at 7minutebooks.com/app. The long, hard, messy road is the only one worth taking, and that's what makes the view from the top so sweet. We'll see you in the next one.